This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSIN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, triple option style, as always, on a football Friday. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Pritchard, our VSIN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick to the Atlanta Falcons, and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. His Buffs happen to be playing tonight, a little Friday Night Lights in the Palouse, where I used to cover the Washington State Cougars. We'll get into that maybe a little bit later on in the program here, but we do have a fun show on deck for you guys over these next 2 hours. How about last night? What were your guys' kind of takeaways? I thought we were going to have one of the best games on the Thursday night slate. Unfortunately, though, the biggest news, Joe Burrow getting out. He will be out, I think, maybe for the foreseeable future. We'll find out later on with the MRI with this wrist injury. But the Ravens beat the Bengals 34-20. Let's put the Burrow news off to the side because I think we'll go heavy on that one. What were your guys' just initial thoughts watching the game last night, though?
Well, initially, I was very concerned about Mark Andrews and the effect that's going to have on Baltimore going. I don't know. What are they talking about? It's an ankle or something. To me, it looked like it was a neck. You know, he was grabbing his head. Yeah. I was concerned.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And Lamar came over, threw his helmet down, you know, when he was laying on the ground.
He knew immediately.
And then Burrow goes down. I mean, we were so excited for this game. You know, the difference in Cincinnati or Baltimore winning this game is the difference for the division. I think the division's over. I think Baltimore has won this division with Deshaun Watson being out. I don't think Cleveland can get there. Tomlin will work miracles to get to 10 wins or whatever he does every year, but I think Baltimore is going to win the division. So it was disappointing from that aspect that we didn't get to see Burrow compete in this game, because I think it would have been a track meet. I think this game is 37-34, 34-31, one way or the other, if he's still in the game.
Yeah, this is interesting how the numbers played out in this game. But first of all, did you shrug when he introduced me as a national champion?
Well, I think there's an asterisk. I think there should always be an asterisk.
There should always, a little shrug. Did
there
you
should
see
always
that?
Be an I mean, they're at the fifth down. I mean, I Lauterbach, care. Great tennis coach, J.C. So, Lauterbach.
There's
the field
all, here
was
we
bad.
Go.
There's the field
always,
was bad.
There's
the
always, there's
Jim,
always
now
an
we
asterisk.
Know the connection between Coach Mack and Harbaugh. We understand their ethics.
Every year there's an asterisk.
Talk about. Can you talk about what he did at Rancho? Forget about that Colorado stuff.
But no, it's uncanny.
He's our national champion.
I know.
We got you, Brent.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. It's uncanny that, see, I don't forget things. I notice a lot. How these numbers play out. Like the last 3 weeks, Baltimore has been averaging about 34 points a game, right? You look at the Bengals. The last three games, they've been averaging right around 20 points a game. And then defensively, the Bengals have been allowing a lot more points. And a lot of people aren't focused in on that. And the Bengals are not a complete team when they don't have T. Higgins in the combination of him and Ja'Marr Chase for what they want to do and who they want to be offensively. So compromise that way in the beginning of the game, a short week, compromise again. And then, okay, this wrist injury, this mysterious injury right there. But what your point, Mike, about Baltimore, they are a complete football team. I think even without Andrews, they're capable of getting deep into the playoffs, perhaps Super Bowl, because they have so much talent on that offensive side of the ball, and they keep finding guys. And then Harbaugh, the other Harbaugh, I mean, he does a great job of coaching this team. He knows everybody on this team. That was his job prior to becoming a head coach, to know everybody as a special teams coordinator, and he knows which buttons to push. Another guy who does that is Mike Tomlin too. And that's why I call this division a culture division, because it's all about culture. It's all about standard. And they get these results year in and year out. But Baltimore is on something right now.
Yeah, Baltimore really impressive in the box score. 405 yards of offense, nearly 7 yards per play. 6 for 12 on third down is really impressive. Like, you get forced into that many third downs, and to convert half of them, usually you're going to win the football game when you do that. They go ahead and cover as 4-point favorites at home. Total was 45.5. It flew over. We finally got a primetime over to go ahead and cash. That was nice to see there for those who had dabbled in betting that one there. It's been primetime unders. I mean, if you'd have just been jamming them all season, you're probably living in some resort or something like that.
I think if you know, the injury is obviously the anomaly here to Burrow, right?
Yep.
But I'm with you. In this division, if you take more than a field goal every time, you're going to be okay. Yep. I just don't think anybody, because it's throw all the rules out, throw the past records out. These games always come down to one possession to a kick.
Right.
And it probably would have as well. It's interesting now because the path to the playoffs for Cincinnati, right? You're looking at them making this big comeback off of Burrow getting healthy. Could they win the division? Could they be a top two seed? And now you got to talk about, are they going to be in the playoff?
Yeah. I think right now they're minus, it's a minus price for them to miss the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So the favorite outcome will be for them to be on the outside looking in come January. And like, how could it not be? It's sitting at 5-5.
How about the Bills? They're 2-1 to make the playoffs. It's a dog to make the yes price to make the playoffs.
We might have we might have a playoffs with no Burrow, right? No Josh Allen, no Herbert. Like this AFC thing, it's wide open unless you look at the top where the defending Super Bowl champions, Kansas City, which we can get into that conversation a little bit later. I do want to bring it back to the obviously the big news from this game being Joe Burrow with the wrist injury. And this was one of those games that was sort of set up for live betting. Like going into the game, I went ahead and I had the Bengals +4. I also had some Bengals on the money line just because I like this as a field goal kind of game. It's an AFC North battle. They're always close games like Mike alluded to. But when you see the broadcast cut to Burrow on the sidelines and he can barely grip the football, shakes his head, pounds the ground, and that was time for me to say, let me load into my app real quick and get as much Ravens as I can get because as a position of Bengals +4, I didn't want that anymore. Mm-hmm. I went ahead and bet the Ravens laying 1.5 and 2.5 in the game just because you knew that he was not coming back just based on him and his inability to grip the football there.
No, I mean, I think so. The investigation about the wrist, right?
Yes.
The league's going to do that. Go back to the previous game where he hurt his finger. He was trying to grip the ball there, too. There was some blood and everything like that, but there was no indication that he had hurt his wrist. Now, when you step foot in a training room, if you get a bag of ice, you're going to end up on an injury report, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's supposed to happen. Now, I don't know if he went into on a short week, if he even stepped foot into the training room. He probably didn't even practice. Did walkthroughs as normal people do or normal teams do when you're getting ready for a short week or a Thursday night game. So I don't know if there was time to report anything or to treat anything. Maybe he thought it'd feel better. Or he slipped down some stairs or something like that, right? And hurt his wrist.
And he braced himself.
Sure. And that could be the excuse. I mean, Zach Taylor's already said he didn't have any idea what happened there. So it's fascinating. I think from a betting standpoint, Femi, if you knew that he had a wrist injury, though, going into it, would you have been confident about the Bengals going into that game, though?
I mean, obviously, hindsight is always 20/20, and we have video for our viewing audience of it right now. This was when the Bengals arrived, I believe, the day before, and he has some sort of, I don't know if it's a cast or a soft wrap. Something is on his throwing hand on his right wrist there as he's trying to pick up a bag there. I thought Burrow was healthy, and if you're going to give me a healthy Burrow, this should be like a field goal spread, like a three-point spread.
Right.
If Burrow was compromised, I could then understand why this was north of a field goal. So, okay, Ravens 3.5, Ravens 4, that makes sense. Maybe I don't bet the game. So I do think that I would have probably passed on the Cincinnati side had I known that Burrow was a little bit compromised going in.
And that's why the NFL is investigating, right? Launching an investigation on that. I mean, as he reached down, he was reaching down with his left hand. He wasn't even going to pick up his luggage with the right hand or whatever bag that was with his right hand. So he did have an injury, and the fact that I don't know if anybody covered it up or if he slipped down some stairs on the way to the game, who knows? But the NFL is launching that investigation just based on the fact of the integrity of the game situation.
When I was on with Tim last night, Tim Murray, the first I saw of it was Britton showed it to us at the top of the show, the soft cast coming off the plane. Mm-hmm. And I thought about asking you this when I saw you tomorrow morning. Now, it was a different era, and there were no partnerships with betting organizations. But you played for three different organizations.
Yeah.
Were they wildly different in how fastidious they were in reporting injuries, or was it pretty uniform across the board?
No, not uniform at all. Yeah. I mean, we would conceal – people would conceal injuries all the time. We had quarterbacks taking shots before the game to deaden their ribs because they didn't want people to know that they had a ribs situation. You know, a lot of times, too, when they say the quarterback's the first one in the building, a quarterback could be in the treatment room, too, right? But they don't want to report that. But it's different now because of the alignment with sports betting, the partners that the league has. And certainly, you know, the designation of a player, they have to know that based on those injury reports. They have to release that information.
I was interested this morning. You know, I don't watch, but I was up. I was helping my wife with some school stuff. And you know, I was watching, I had on in the background the TV, the Boomer Show, right? And here's the guy, and the first thing he's talking about is, this is going to be a big investigation. Yeah. You've got, and this is not a betting guy, right? Boomer's not a bet, but the emphasis the league has placed on gambling, this is a huge issue.
It's integrity of the game. That's the shield.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the whole shield that the league has built their league on, basically, integrity of the game. And so, yeah, they're not going to take this lightly.
Well, we do have soundbite from Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, last night after their loss to the Baltimore Ravens, talking about what they knew about this Burrow injury going in and what they know going forward. Here's what Taylor had to say.
It looked like he sprained his wrist. So fell on it early in the game and then felt it on the touchdown pass.
Have you heard it at all before tonight?
Not that I'm aware of.
Do you think you can come back this year?
I have no idea. All the information I have is 2 seconds worth. And then we went to go try to find to win the game.
There was a lot made on social media about something that Burrow was wearing on his wrist, getting off the...
That was the first I saw anything about it.
Back to that, so did you feel good about Burrow coming in until he...
Absolutely. I mean, watch how he played in the first half. He did everything we needed him to do.
The irony of that soundbite and that clip for the viewing audience and for those who are just listening, I'll explain it to them, is that obviously the backdrop has the Bengals logo, but also has the logo of a sports book right behind him as well. And right. He's saying all this like, oh, I didn't know. I mean, how did you not know that he had something on his throwing hand? And you're the head coach of the team. Like, are we buying that?
Is that possible?
Is it possible? No.
Exactly.
No.
There's no way.
I mean, you know, the whole logistics of traveling anyway, right? You're going to know, you're going to go up to a guy, how you feeling, that kind of thing. You're going to look at people on the plane, on the bus, and all that stuff. And someone's going to tell you, hey, Burrow's got something on his wrist, right?
Yeah.
You're the head coach.
I mean, I don't know. We're going to talk more about this on the other side because there's a lot more meat left on the bone here. I don't know about Joe Burrow's wrist bone, but we'll talk about it on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line. Just getting warmed up here on a Football Friday.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard here hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino. We do have two guests that will be joining us on the show over these 2 hours here. Coming up in 15 minutes, our buddy Tank Williams, former NFL DB, college football and NFL analyst. He will join us to talk about the card this weekend. And then also in hour number two, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific, Barrett Salee, college football writer for CBS, will join us to talk all of the biggest headlines in college football as we're down to the final 2 weeks of the regular season. So, a lot of fun ahead in college football.
Pritch's buddy Tank came on Saturday afternoon with them all and I convinced me to take 21.5 with this Cardinal. Made some compelling arguments. Like, I only had to sweat it for a quarter and a half. So that was the good part. Thanks, Tank.
Well, you can bring it up with him in about 15 minutes.
No, I won't. Let this thing lie. I mean, let it lie. We have to move on. We have to move. 1990 is a long time ago.
Exactly.
That was a
no
long
shrugging.
Time ago.
I mean, I don't have to wear my ring,
shrugging.
I don't think, to just...
I mean, you might need to.
I know.
No,
the way he shrugged over there.
It's the Michael Irvin line that says, like, I don't wear any of my rings because you guys know how many I have. It's like, I don't need to wear any of them. But obviously the big news in the National Football League is what we saw last night. Joe Burrow injures his right wrist and did not finish the game. It was Jake Browning who finished for the Cincinnati Bengals. And the big news today with this matter is that Adam Schefter of ESPN reported that the NFL is now investigating why the Bengals did not list Joe Burrow on their injury report when the team posted a picture of him wearing a device on the wrist Wednesday night, and he appeared to be hampered by the injury early in the Thursday night game that he later left the league confirmed today. The initial picture of Burrow wearing a device that looked like a soft cast on his thumb was posted by the Bengals, only to be deleted later. If all was good, not sure why they would delete the video there or the photo. But I mean, based on what we said, obviously us being a betting network, I mean, we have obviously welcomed transparency. And in this instance, and in some other instances as well, it's not just Cincinnati. I mean, how about the Philadelphia Eagles? Have you guys seen Jalen Hurts on an injury report? The guy's limping every single week.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him on an injury report. Like, this is becoming a thing with a lot of these NFL teams. Yeah. We saw it with the Atlanta Falcons with the Bijan Robinson thing, to where it's like, if you're going to be involved with the betting and all this, there needs to be some sort of level of transparency and a standard of what is expected from these teams as it pertains to the injury report.
We saw this last year in the NFL, what, four times where an hour before the game time, everyone thought it was a different starting quarterback. I mean, yeah. The Bills, Vikings.
The Bills, yeah.
Wildly changing the lines in these games, 4, 5, 6 points.
That was nuts. It's
very hard to trust. I mean, there has to be, to your point, integrity and standardization of this now, especially when they've embraced it.
Absolutely.
And let's be honest. Gambling has propelled the interest in these leagues. It's driven their bigger TV contracts. It's been very much a financial benefit to them. So they have to take care of that side of it as well.
They do, and they know it, and they understand it, certainly. I think that's why the investigation immediately. But, it's fascinating because, you know, like hockey, they'll list an upper body.
Only upper or lower.
Or lower body. Nothing specific, right? You're a wild guess, but they're hurt, yeah, basically. But in the National Football League, I mean, pride themselves in terms of you step foot in that training room for any type of treatment, you're going to be on an injury report. It's incumbent on the player. Like, we don't know if Jalen Hurts is going in for treatment, right? But we do know he's hurt. So there's that gray area a little bit that way. He could be treating it at home, which, you know, a lot of players are doing that these days. A lot of players have their own devices like and everything.
Hyperbaric chamber.
Certainly, absolutely. You can treat all your stuff that you would do in a training room, just do it at home. And therefore, you might skirt around becoming a player that's on an injury report.
Are players who are not at a, let's say, Pro Bowl level, and maybe I'm going too high here, though, do they feel the need to not be as forthcoming about their injuries because of they might not be played if the coach is new?
Well, it depends on the coach. Like, high-profile coaches or successful coaches, they'll give the player some room. In other words, I'll trust you one time. That you say, okay, you're good enough to go. But if your performance is not indicative of that, then I can't trust you anymore. So I think there's that leeway. As long as a player says, look, I'm good to go, and then the performance is okay, then, yeah, the coach is going to trust that. But if a player says, I'm good to go, and you're not really good to go, then a coach is not going to trust him anymore.
You played 16 games each year in the NFL and the Ravens. Yeah. How many of those 16 games were you at 100%?
I can't really give you a number on that because I never really was. You're never at 100%.
Yeah.
You're never at 100%. I mean, something on you is going to hurt. Like I said, but as a player, for instance, if I had a bruise or if I was had something bothering me, I'd grab a bag of ice and go home with it. Or I would do something and you know, certainly you have stem machines. You have all this stuff back in the day, ultrasound and all this in your house. And so you could do that. You could treat it yourself at home. And then, come on, there's Toradol. So if you were hurt, just take a Toradol shot. You're great, right? And is that seriously? I mean, that was the thought process at the time. Now I think it's different, like you said earlier, Mike, in terms of the partnership that the NFL has with betting. They have to have this integrity in place.
Well, yeah, and I think there's also like there's a difference between like. Everybody's dealing with something because I think even the rookie quarterback Will Levis of the Tennessee Titans said, hey, at this point of the year, everyone's dealing with something. Like, you know, like that's just football. We're all dealing with stuff. There's a difference between that and, hey, like you can barely even grip a football or like you have a cast on your hand or what Jalen Hurts is going through to where literally after every run play is limping back to the huddle. Like this has been going on for a month with Jalen Hurts and we've yet to see the Eagles put him on the injury report. Now, obviously we all have eyeballs. So we can see that he's compromised in some regard. But I mean, like what are we, like if we're not going to put that on the injury report, why do we even have it to begin with? Like, let's go back to, let's do college football and just say, hey, here are the guys who are playing. No actives or inactives. Like, here's the team. Like, if we're going to have it, let's at least follow the rules and like put it all out there.
It's a great question and it's a great point you're bringing up. But it's like, if the player doesn't step into the training room to get treatment, are they truly on an injury report? I guess that's the parameters, right?
Yeah.
But if you watch the All 22 or if you watch, you know, and you study, some tape and stuff, you can tell guys who are compromised, right? And that have some type of situation that could slow them down. But it's not going to keep them out the game, though. What Jalen Hurts is going through is not going to keep him out the game. Now, should it be on an injury report? Well, if he's stepping in the training room, yeah, absolutely. But if he's not, then I don't know how you put him on an injury report.
Well, it's definitely an interesting conversation. We'll find out what comes of this NFL investigation with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they investigated the Falcons and the Bijan Robinson thing. Doesn't sound like a whole lot came of that. So this might just be a big nothing burger by the time we get to Sunday's kickoff there. But on Burrow's note, last note on this game is that ESPN's Jeremy Fowler tweeted last night he's expected to get the MRI today. Burrow declined comment in the locker room last night. But Mike Hilton, the cornerback for the Cincinnati Bengals, told Jeremy Fowler he doesn't sense Burrow will miss the season. But the fact that he even needed to clarify that, maybe this is a long-term absence for Joe Burrow, which the Bengals cannot afford sitting at 5-5. We do have a couple minutes left there, and there obviously is a big news today in college football with the Michigan Wolverines. Of course there is. Yesterday, it was announced that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh will accept the 3-game suspension, which will prohibit Harbaugh from being on the sidelines this Saturday in College Park when they take on Maryland, and will also prohibit him from being the head coach on the sidelines with the game next Saturday when they host the Ohio State Buckeyes here. But I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the stuff that's come out today with Dan Wetzel and what he's wrote for Yahoo about how there was a booster that was funding some of this sign-stealing scheme that they've been running over there in Ann Arbor. But I mean, this to me, it feels like a whole lot of admission of guilt here. But for the Wolverines, probably just getting off scot-free here, and it's kind of a slap on the wrist, to be quite honest.
Well, I think that Michigan and Harbaugh, in retrospect, I have to say, if Tony Petitti, the new commissioner of the Big Ten, who, by the way, was Rob Manfred's number two at Major League Baseball, and who oversaw the... Oh, yeah. He came from Major League Baseball. Before he was Manfred's number two, he ran the Major League Baseball Network.
Oh.
He also presided in large part over the Astros scandal. But they have to be thankful. If he preempted anything bigger from the NCAA, and this is just going to be like time served, and he can coach all week long... Yeah. I think it's hardly anything at all.
Don't have to vacate wins. Don't have to do anything like that. Or
you know, I thought there was a specter they would be ineligible for the playoff.
Sure,
or
be ineligible
right?
for the playoff too. I mean, Howard too for the basketball side. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of things going on in Michigan. I remember Michigan from a financial standpoint, because of how they mortgaged so much for these facilities and all that. So Michigan's been sweeping a lot of things under the rug, which you could do that in college football for a long time. A lot of schools have done that, right? Now, you're going to get caught, especially from a high-profile situation, sign stealing, and if it was funded, then, I mean, this is an operation.
Well, he wasn't turning in expense reports. Someone was paying for it.
This
Someone.
Was funded. Yeah. This is an operation.
It wasn't Connor that was funding all of this. Connor's down.
Right.
Like, they put his salary out there. He ain't funding this.
So if you're in Michigan and the punishment is like, oh, Harbaugh can't coach, you're like, okay, we're okay with that.
Right.
Considering what really should happen to Michigan.
They get a little more conservative without him. I think that's very true, right?
Definitely in the second half against Penn State.
And even in the first three or four games of the year, they're pretty conservative.
Yeah. Michigan also fired assistant coach Chris Partridge as attempting to destroy computer evidence. I wonder why he was doing that. Tank Williams will join us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on a Football Friday. Femi Abefefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And joining us now, it's our buddy. We had him on last month. Always electric when we have the one and only Tank Williams on, former NFL DB, now NFL and college football analyst. Tank, we appreciate you taking the time as always. Before we get into this weekend's games, let's talk about last night, Thursday Night Football, Bengals, Ravens, obviously Burrow. Banged up. He gets knocked out of the game with the wrist injury. Mark Andrews, he leaves the game with the ankle injury. Done for the season is what head coach John Harbaugh is saying. What were your kind of takeaways from this game with the Ravens winning 34-20?
I mean, it's unfortunate that we'll have to deal with those injuries, especially when you lose high-profile players like that who make such an impact to that team, not only in the game last night, but moving forward as they try to make the playoffs and then try to secure a championship. So, hate to see that. Hopefully, Burrow can bounce back quickly. No, Andrews isn't. But I think what we've seen from that Baltimore Ravens offense is that they can be multi, and that means that they don't really have to depend on just Mark Andrews. Odell Beckham Jr. starting to flash in the pass game. We already seen that Zay Flowers is electric. They have a couple backs that could do different things, whether it's the Gus bust in the red zone, Akeem Mitchell getting these splash plays from the middle of the field. And so when I think of that Baltimore Ravens offense, especially if Lamar is healthy and that ankle doesn't bother him too much, they're going to be hard to stop. But the one thing you look at the Ravens defense, I mean, they still gave up a lot of yardage in the run game to a Cincinnati team that really hasn't been running the ball that effectively. So that's going to come in to some issues as they face some of these other more formidable offenses coming down the stretch. But I feel good about the Ravens. A lot of uncertainty surrounding the Bengals until we find out some more information on Joe Burrow.
Tank, you're a Pac-10 legend, and all eyes are going to be on Corvallis this weekend for the big showdown. Yeah. You've got an undefeated team in Washington, a top three Heisman candidate in Michael Penix, and they are catching points at Oregon State this weekend. Line moved yesterday, 2.5 down to 1. Pick in some places, it's kind of settled in at 1. Your outlook on this game?
Did you see what those Beavers did to my Stanford Cardinal last week?
You convinced me to take the 21.5 on Saturday.
Hey, trust me, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming at all, the way that they performed against Washington, man. So, trust me, if I saw that score, Washington saw the score too. So, say, for example, if my Stanford Cardinal played Oregon State tough, then it may be one thing where Washington can maybe overlook them, but I don't think they'll overlook them in this game. So that's why I do a little SGP action in this one. I would do Washington money line, and I would take the over 53.5 points. That gives you plus 145, and that's at Bet MGM, just because I feel confident that Washington, they play some close games. When you see the way that Oregon State plays at home, they understand it's a tough environment to play in. I don't think they're going to come in, you know, slighting these guys. They understand that they're going to be a tough team. I think Washington gets the dub.
Tank, man, you're going to get a lot of heat because you started all this with Colorado and the losing streak. So not only you gave some advice to Mike Palm over here, you caused my bus to go on this losing streak.
It's a free fall.
Free fall. Okay, thank you very much, fam. But still respect the hell out of you, and I want your thoughts on Georgia-Tennessee.
Man. Georgia, they're some dogs, man. It seems like the college football committee, they finally got it right where they have Georgia's number one team. Because I understand when Brock Bowers got hurt, people were saying like, okay, they may not be able to get it together offensively. That offense actually started clicking on all cylinders before Brock Bowers came back. And now that he's come back, I mean, they're just a damn juggernaut. Yeah. So when I look at the way that Missouri manhandled Tennessee last week and the way that Georgia battled Missouri, I mean, that was a good game, but Georgia pulled away at the end. Clearly, Georgia's the better football team. So I would go Georgia money line. And then I would also take, well, actually, I'm gonna go Georgia winning halftime and full time, and I would say over 48.5 points. Then that would give you plus 100, so you get plus money for a thing that you expect to occur. Georgia to win first half, second half, and you know, get some points, because I mean, I feel like their offense is just clicking on all cylinders.
Georgia looks pretty good there. Yeah. Carson Beck feels like he's kind of found himself, the quarterback there for the Bulldogs. We're hanging out with Tank Williams, college football and NFL analyst. Tank, let's talk a little bit of NFL. Next Monday night is the Super Bowl rematch. Everyone's been looking forward to this one since the schedule came out there. Eagles at the Chiefs. Right now it's Kansas City, 2.5-point favorites on DraftKings, total 45.5. Do you have a play in how you kind of want to attack this Super Bowl rematch here between the Eagles and Chiefs?
Honestly, I have no idea how this one is going to play out right now, because I feel like both teams are playing good ball right now. We saw the way that the Kansas City Chiefs played against Miami across the pond, and then the Eagles have gotten some tough wins before they went into their bye week. I think when I look at it, there's definitely an advantage going against that Philadelphia pass defense. And so then if I can get some props on Travis Kelce, or more specifically, I think you probably get some better odds at Rashee Rice. I really don't see what his number is right now for receiving yards. Let me check it out right now. But it's over 42.5. I feel confident that they're getting him more integrated into that offense, and that I would feel comfortable taking that at minus 115 at BetMGM. Rashee Rice over 42.5, and then maybe even the Travis Kelce anytime touchdown. We know that they like to have him shine in the bright lights going against his brother. They're going to be playing up to the Taylor Swift narrative and all that, so I think that may be easy money as well. But when I do the anytime touchdowns, especially if it's going to be heavily favored, like say if it's minus money because it's a guy like Travis Kelce, I like to take the SGP approach and do it with another prop that I feel is highly likely to hit.
Tank, Jim Harbaugh in Michigan accepted his, quote, suspension. Mm-hmm. Three Saturdays, I call it. And I think they're counting their lucky stars in doing so. I want to get your perspective. I'd ask Mike Pritchard, but you played more in the modern college game. I want to get your perspective on what effect will this really have next weekend in Ann Arbor when they play Ohio State? Does this put Michigan at any sort of a disadvantage? He coaches all week, but he can't be on the sideline on Saturday.
I believe there's something to be said for having your head coach on the field if it's going to be a close game with a lot on the line and making these tough decisions in crucial moments. That being said, I think that Michigan is the better team. I think they have the more competent, more seasoned quarterback. I think that their defense is better, and I think that they'll be able to lean heavily on that run game. And when I look at it from that standpoint, I think Ohio State will probably keep it a little bit close. And if Michigan can't keep the lid on Marvin Harrison Jr., then that just throws everything out. But I think if they can contain him and then play ball control and just get out of there with a victory, they'll be setting themselves up nice going into the college football playoff. I feel like they're the better team.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Tank, going back to National Football League too, because I'm curious, Fim, and he's been spot on with his assessment of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm curious your thoughts on this matchup, because Tennessee, I don't know if they have anything left, right? But your thoughts on what's going on with the Titans, and can they get inside this number? It's at 7 right now against Jacksonville.
You know, I tried to call my Titans out on a number of occasions, and they responded well. I mean, especially to Will Levis being inserted into that offense. And I think they feel like they have a chance to win now with Will Levis at quarterback, because he'll be able to push the ball downfield a little bit better than what Tannehill was doing before he got injured. So from that being said, it's always going to be a heated rivalry whenever the Titans play the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think you're going to get a heavy dose of King Henry. The only thing that is not in favor of the Tennessee Titans is this. Like, San Francisco went up to Jacksonville and they waxed that.
Yeah.
And so when you come off a bad loss like that, you know the team's going to be motivated to get that nasty taste out of their mouth. So I expect Jacksonville to come out, play well this week. I expect Jacksonville to get the win and try to get back on track, because you just don't get embarrassed by a team like San Francisco like that where they whip you in all three phases of the game. Mm-hmm. They're going to come out with their hair on fire against the Titans.
Tank, we got a couple minutes left, and kind of to that point there, because I think a lot of people think Jacksonville is in this conversation, but Cleveland, they just lost their quarterback Deshaun Watson for the rest of the season. Like, who do you ultimately see being the biggest challenger to Kansas City? Because as it stands right now, Cincinnati, Buffalo, the Chargers, all those teams are currently on the outside looking in of the AFC playoff picture.
I have zero confidence in Buffalo right now unless they show me something different. I don't think Ken Dorsey was the issue. I mean, he definitely wasn't helping the situation. But I think when I look at it, I mean, we can talk about how the Miami Dolphins haven't beaten a good team yet. But as bad as they played across the pond against Kansas City, they were right in it at the end of the game and had the opportunity to try to push it to overtime. So don't sleep on the Miami Dolphins. I think another team that I was talking up the past few weeks before a lot of people just kind of hopped on the wagon was the Houston Texans. Like C.J. Stroud, man, that dude's been playing phenomenal football from the very start. And when you beat a team like the Cincinnati Bengals, and that was when Joe Burrow and all those guys were healthy, I mean, I think they've shown that they're capable of playing with any team in the league. And especially, like, if you're colorblind and you look at that defense, it may resemble the San Francisco 49ers defense. If you go back and look at that Cincinnati tape, like, they was on Joe Burrow's ass like some brake lights. And so I really like what he's doing on both sides of the ball. And I think that Houston's going to be something to look out for sure in the AFC.
All right. He is Tank Williams, former NFL DB, now NFL and college football analyst. Tank, we appreciate the analysis each and every time you come on the Lombardi Line, man. Be well.
Yeah, appreciate it. And if my Stanford Cardinal get beat by Cal, I'm going to just say that y'all are the jinx.
We're jinxing each other. That's what we're doing here on the card. Have they won since Tank's last appearance?
Yeah.
They beat
No, they beat someone.
Yeah, they beat someone. Didn't
Washington
they?
State.
No, they play Washington State tonight.
Okay, who'd they beat? Who'd Washington State lose to?
We'll figure it out.
They had to win some.
We'll figure it out during
that. They get Notre Dame next week. That's all I know.
By the way, listen to your elders, Mike Pum. I mean, I might be.
You're 4 years older than me. I might be further removed,
but I have a lot of knowledge.
But some modern NFL when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. The crown is yours. In-season tournament night in the association, Tuesdays and Fridays, so that'll be a whole lot of fun. That's coming up. The Final Four and Championship are here in Vegas.
When is it?
Sometime in December.
Mid-December,
yeah.
Right?
I think, yeah, mid-December. Yeah. So that'll be an exciting time, pending the teams that end up making.
What do they get if they win that? Do they get something?
I think that's like the $500K, isn't it, or something like that?
It's just money? It's nothing that improves their chances to win the NBA title?
I mean, just $500K would be good with me.
Nah, it's not enough.
That's not enough for you.
It's not enough for Pritch. Pritch didn't even feel bad. He's out of serve at $9 million. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Pritch is talking about signing bonuses.
That's what he said.
I had 5 signing bonuses. I'm okay.
If you get the signing bonus survivors, just, you know, that's just lunch. Lunch money for Pritch. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Bepe, Mike Paul, Mike Pritchard hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Thank you to Tank Williams, who joined us in the last segment, by the way. Former NFL DB, now NFL and college football analyst here. But let's talk some NFL, and we'll get to this card, which we were discussing during the break. Kind of a nasty card here for NFL betting. I only have one side bet. Have a couple teasers in play as well, but only one side bet so far for Sunday's action. And we will start in Cleveland, where the Cleveland Browns will be starting Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the rookie. It will be his second start this season as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The market, as we joked yesterday on VSiN Primetime, resembles a preseason game. Browns 1-point favorites, total 33. What to do here with Steelers-Browns in the AFC North?
I think it's either Steelers or the under for me. I am more surprised by the news that DTR is starting than that Deshaun is out for the season. We talked to people around Cleveland, around the team, people that cover the team, in the Cleveland media. They're all shocked, too, because there was no thoughts at practice that he had superseded P.J. Walker. I mean, Walker did turn the ball over a lot, but look, he's a tip ball away from winning in Seattle. Mm-hmm. He won a shootout in Indianapolis. I know there was a lot of officiating questions, but he gave them a chance to win. I'm not sure DTR, even with that great defense, gives them the best chance to win. You have to be scared with a rookie making his second start against this Steelers defense. It's a big play defense. They're going to give up some yards, but they create havoc and they create the turnovers and they change games. I can't get behind the Browns here. I think this is going to be a slugfest. I think this is a 17-13 type of game.
It always is. I mean, even with Deshaun out there, I think it would be a slugfest. DTR, will he be a turnover machine? Will he be a deer in headlights and all this? It's just a lot of pressure game right here. It is perplexing about the decision to go with him. Now, PJ, I'm trying to recollect, did he get a concussion recently or anything like that? Because I don't understand the decision either, right? Unless they're trying to hide an injury or something like that.
Could it be they want to take a look at him now? And if he shows something, they're going to stand pat. And if he's as bad as he was in week 3, they're going to go out and get a quarterback.
Well, taking a look at somebody now is a big decision because, they have these games. They're chasing the playoffs.
They're 6-3.
You're right. I mean, you can't afford to drop a game just to find out if DTR is ready to go. I mean, this is a high-pressure game. They're going to sign Joe Flacco or something like that, too. So, I mean, they're entertaining all that stuff. So
they're working them out, at least.
Yeah, there's a lot of things moving here. There's a lot of injuries on the offensive line, too, for Cleveland. I can't get to a side. I understand Pittsburgh's been turning people over. They're one of the league leaders in terms of takeaways. And then you think about, the other side of preventing teams from scoring in the red zone or opportunities to score. They're allowing about, 15 points a game the last few games here, if you look at Pittsburgh. So they're getting it done defensively, and therefore it's going to be a tight game. It's going to be a tight game anyway. I mean, I would entertain a teaser if you're looking for a leg more so than a side. I'm not a total guy. I can never do well with totals, but this seems like it profiles as an ugly game as well.
No, I'm with you with the teaser. Like, I teased Pittsburgh up when this was at a +2 when this news was coming out that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to play. But let me make the case for Dorian Thompson-Robinson starting, though, because I think if you're Cleveland, this is a situation where you know what P.J. Walker is. And more importantly, you know what he isn't. And I think for Dorian Thompson-Robinson, there's still room for him to maybe be better. And yes, the Ravens game earlier this season was a disaster, but he also found out late in the week that he was going to be the starting quarterback in that game. This time, he's had all week long to get the starting reps here, and there's a reason why they traded Josh Dobbs. Now, maybe we say that's a mistake, obviously, with the way Dobbs is playing, but they traded Josh Dobbs because they were comfortable with what Dorian Thompson-Robinson did in the preseason, and more importantly, in training camp where they saw him day-to-day. Like, I think that we're going to see a little bit different. Maybe it's not this week, but if they give him a couple weeks, I think we'll see a better Dorian Thompson-Robinson than what we saw against the Baltimore Ravens.
In the short term, Femi, who would have given them a better – who gives them a better chance to win this week, Walker or Robinson?
This week, I would say P.J. Walker, yeah, but in the long term, because they still have playoff aspirations, yeah, and that defense is still one of the best in the league, who do you – wait, would you rather start a playoff game with P.J. Walker, or maybe Dorian Thompson-Robinson can be solid? Maybe he can turn into something.
It's really hard for a rookie with a handful of starts to be able to win in the playoffs if he can get you there. That's my opinion.
I agree, but I rule out the quarterback position I have for the most part this entire year because of the backup quality that we've seen, and then we see all these backups, right? I've taken a quarterback matchup or comparison out of looking at these games. Like, this game should be where it's at even with Deshaun Watson, and so it tells you.
You thought the four was much too high.
Absolutely. I'm always looking at divisional matchups, rivalry situations, tight games like this as a field goal or under. I mean, so even with DTR out there, it's one. And this guy, we know what he did the last time out there, right? And so with a week of preparation too, like sometimes a backup quarterback is better when they're thrusted in there, right? Because there's no pressure. They're not thinking about it. Let's just react. Now that you have a game plan, you're getting asked questions. You're the starting quarterback. You could be the starting quarterback from here on out. We saw what happened to Will Levis, right? We saw these rookie quarterbacks. I mean, look at Bryce Young. I mean, he's still struggling. The notion that this rookie quarterback is really going to do what he did in preseason in this pressure situation, that's far-fetched to me. But he could be improved, right? To your point, Femi, he could be improved from the last time out, certainly learning from the tape, learning from getting coaching, and then learning for the fact that, look, I get another opportunity to prove myself.
I look at it this way. DTR for the Cleveland Browns is a futures ticket, and P.J. Walker is the smelliest dog on the card. I think that's kind of how they view it.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, maybe he can turn into something later on down the line. We know what P.J. Walker is, but like I said, more importantly, we know what he isn't.
Right.
And that's a quarterback that's going to help you win in the playoffs. Speaking of more quarterback news, the Rams, they get their quarterback back, Matthew Stafford. He will be starting behind center as they take on the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle is a one-point road favorite, but this is kind of bounced back and forth. Rams are favored earlier in the week. Now the Seahawks are favored. How do you guys see this one playing out? Total 46.5.
The line is so strange to me. And I know I watched on opening week. The Rams dominated them in the second half in Seattle.
They destroyed them.
How could the Rams have been favored? How could the Rams be? If I had to play a side, it might be the Seahawks. I mean, I just think they should be a field goal favorite here in this game. Because I think they're the better. I've looked at the Rams, and I get it. It was ripping, but they're awful. Mm-hmm. They were awful without. Yeah. Now I get Stafford is back. One hit, he might be done again. Mm-hmm. Right? You take that chance here. I don't know if I'll get involved in the game. Maybe it's an underplay because they really controlled Seattle. And Seattle had like what, two first downs in the second half on opening. It was unbelievable.
It was a domination.
How much they dominated them. And everybody thought the Rams were one of the worst teams in football. How could that have? That was maybe the biggest surprise in week one. So I lean Seattle here. I don't have a play on it yet.
Yeah, I don't have a play either. Seattle's been struggling offensively. I mean, the injury to DK Metcalf, to hip. Smith and Jigba has not turned into what a lot of people thought he was going to turn into. And offensively, they're just not what they need to be, right? Now, defensively, I think Seattle get after you, but they're averaging 18 points a game. You know, the Rams could get this game if they execute, right, with the firepower that they have offensively. But that's a tough matchup for the Rams and that Seattle defense.
But I feel like it's a neutral site game, too. Yeah, there's never really a home game. And Seattle travels well.
Mm-hmm.
They always bring people, so they'll have plenty of fans there.
Oh yeah, there'll be a lot of Seahawks fans in attendance. I can tell you that. It's 45 and rainy now in the Pacific Northwest. They're looking for any sort of sunshine. If I had to play, I think I'd play the Rams side.
You would,
just because I think McVay, he tends to have Carroll's number in these matchups. Like, and the extra rest that they have to get Stafford healthy, get the offensive line healthy. It's not going to be as healthy as they were to start the season, but this is going to be the healthiest that they've been probably since week one, probably even healthier now that they have Cooper Kupp back in the fold here with Kupp, Nacua. Those guys are good to go. Stafford's good to go. I think the Rams can put up some points in this game. Like, this to me is going to be one of those fourth quarter football games, whichever quarterback makes the mistake is probably going to be the team that loses. And in this instance, I think I trust Matthew Stafford just a little bit more at home than I do Geno Smith on the road. And
Tyler Lockett with the hamstring, I don't think he's going to play.
Been banged up quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't practiced at all, and then so he's got the hamstring situations, and then you got a gimpy DK Metcalf and an ineffective Smith and Jigba as well too.
It's an important game for sure for the playoff picture, because despite their struggles, the Rams are kind of still in it for the race for the 7 seed, as are the Seahawks, of course, currently the 6 seed in the NFC playoff picture. All right, we'll talk some more NFL to start hour number 2 here on the Lombardi Line.